Book of Jonah, Book of Jonah chapter 3 this morning. I'm going to read all 10 verses and then read a verse in chapter 4. And then we'll try to pray and preach as God directs our heart today. And I do thank you for being in your place. And most of all, I'm glad the Lord's here. Amen. And I can promise you this, He'll always be with you. He promised that. He moved in when He saved you. Now, if you had a self-reformation, all happened is the forces of evil left out for a little while and you cleaned yourself up. But the Bible teaches us the end will be worse than the start because there wasn't nobody moved in on the inside, left a vacant house. And I've seen that happen with some that just kind of had a self-reformation. But when you get regenerated, get born again, the Holy Ghost moves on the inside, takes up that abode, seals you to the day of redemption. And I'm glad of that this morning. Amen. Jonah chapter 3, you're willing and able, stand. Jonah chapter 3, and I'll begin reading verse 1. I desire your prayers that God touch us physically and spiritually, enable us to preach today. Jonah chapter 3, and beginning in verse 1. The Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. I want to stop and say with verse 1, I'm glad He's a God of a second chance. Amen. Not really going to preach on that, but I just want to say that in passing. Because if God dealt with us after our iniquity, I'm talking about after we got saved, He'd cast us off, wouldn't have nothing to do with us. But I'm glad He's a God of second, third, millionth, and one, 100 million and one chance. I'm glad of that. You ought to thank the Lord for that too. Amen. He said, go. He said, arise, go unto Nineveh of that great city and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works and that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Then look at chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for the reading of the Word of God. I thank you for allowing us one more time to have strength in body and mind enough to make our way to your house. I thank you for the choir singing, the special singing. Thank you for your Word. I pray now for just a few minutes you'll enable me. I do desire you to touch me physically, but above everything, you'd anoint me by the Holy Ghost and help me to preach exactly the preaching that you bid me this morning. Lord, we ask you to bind the forces of the enemy, the principality of the air. I pray, may the Holy Ghost, may the Word of God have freedom to work in hearts and change lives in this place today. Lord, we thank you that you're God and beside you there is none else. Thank you that your ear is open to the cry of your children. Help us now, save that soul nearest hell, and stir us as your people, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested this morning in chapter 3 and verse 10 and chapter 4 and verse 1. Notice in chapter 3 and verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. Then verse 4, chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible said, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. I want to preach this morning, maybe an unusual thought, but I want you to listen to me this morning. I want to preach on why some are against revival, or why some are not interested in revival as we are living in the last days. And I really believe that at any moment Jesus could return and rapture us out of this old world. And I do pray it be today. I do. I love and desire for the coming of the Lord. But can I say this? I don't want to meet the Lord on past memories. I want to meet the Lord with my heart fired up and excited for the Lord. And I want to be found faithful. And I want to be found serving when Jesus comes again. I don't want to be found sitting around on the seat of do nothing. But I want to be found fervently laboring in my part of the field where God put me. Understand today, all of us that are saved have an area of this field, have the world, have that God has placed us in. Had to tell others about Christ and be light and to be salt. God has placed us in the field where He desired us to be. Oh, I want to be found faithful. Now some would say, preacher, you really believe that there's folk in the world today that are against revival? Sure do. Preacher, do you believe there's some that are not interested in revival? I sure do. But I also believe this, there's some that desire revival. There are those that desire to be on fire for God and be found faithful when Jesus comes. I believe that with all my heart too. Oh, friend, today, just about 8 days, and we'll have revival meetings starting here. God's been working in my heart for days. I've been spending this Sunday beginning to get our attention, our minds upon a real move of God. Brother Chris is a wonderful preacher, but understand this, he can't revive nobody. Amen. Revival's a sovereign act of a holy God. But I want to say this, we that saved have our part. We must respond. We must repent. We must return. Hey, revival is still possible in the 21st century. As sure as God's revived people and churches and communities in days gone by, God is still able to do that today. Oh, friend, I believe as a pastor, part of my responsibility when we're getting ready to have a meeting is to begin to lay some groundwork to begin. I had to stir up your pure remembrance about the things of God and the need of revival in our day. Oh, as I said, I'm preaching why some are against revival, why some are not interested in revival. Preacher, that's strange. Well, in chapter 4, verse number 1, Jonah didn't like it. And Jonah was the preacher. I'm going to be honest with you, but Tim, this book puzzles me. Jonah puzzles me as sure as Samson puzzles me. Because Jonah, in chapter 1, God said, go to Nineveh. He says, no. And he goes, gets on his ship, headed to Tarshish. He's running from the presence of the Lord. He winds up in the belly of a whale. Preacher, do you really believe that story? I sure do. And let me just hit this in passing. If you don't, then you probably don't believe in the resurrection of Christ either. For Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. To attack Jonah in the whale is to attack the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, I believe in the resurrection, and I believe a whale swallowed Jonah. You say, did you get the good scientific report and able to believe it? I believed it before I ever heard a scientific report. Amen. Hey, I'm going to just settle this real quick. I'm going to let science catch up with the Bible. Amen. My Bible don't have to prove science. Science is going to have to add up to that Bible. Amen. That's right. Somebody say, I ain't a Bible believer. Hit them in the nose. You say, why, preacher? They'll start bleeding. And the Bible said, the ring of no bringing forth blood. Said, do you believe it now? Amen. Not instigating it right, please understand me. But that Bible's right, regardless of what man may say, what the world may say, the Bible is still right. Amen. Whoa, Jonah winds up in the belly of the whale, and chapter 2 begins to pray and begin to call on God, and God has mercy in chapter 3. And verse 1, it comes the second time, and that whale throws Jonah up on the sea ashore, and Jonah hits the road with that message in 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Oh, we find that Jonah is a part of this. He's preaching. But when they repent, Jonah gets mad. Jonah gets upset. Preacher, why would anybody be against revival? Why would anybody not be interested in revival? Three things in chapter 3 and I'll be done. Can I say they don't like revival, aren't interested in revival? Because first of all, the confrontation of revival. You look there at chapter 3 and verse number 2 where he said, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Verse 3 and 4. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. There's a revival that takes place in the city of Nineveh in this chapter. And understand, it started with confrontation. There's a man of God who came to them. Can I word it like this? It was preaching where the rubber meets the road. It is preaching, for lack of a better term, it's in your face preaching. Amen. It is also, let me say this, this preaching was preaching on sin. Their wickedness, their evil, their sin had come up before God, and God sent a man that preached against their sin. I'm glad for preachers that'll preach against sin. I'm glad they don't have to pat me on the back and tell me good, warm, fuzzy feeling stories and you know, brag. I'm glad they'll preach against sin, even sin in my life. Amen. You ought to thank God for preachers that'll preach against sin. We're in a day they don't want much of that. But that's the kind of preaching Jonah did. It's confrontational preaching. It's preaching on judgment. Boy, we're in a day they will flock to the psychologist-style preacher. Amen. They love all this positive thinking. They love being the better you. I want to tell you something. Ain't no way to be a better you. You have a fallen nature. The only way that can change is for God to do a work in your heart, in your life. That is the only way you'll ever change. Amen. And judgment, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know what's going to happen to America if America don't repent? Judgment. Amen. Can I remind you also the Bible said this, that judgment must begin where? In the house of God. Amen. Hey, I've said it a lot and I'll say it again. Revival won't start in Washington, D.C. Revival won't start in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm talking about in the political realm. Revival begins at the house of God. And judgment must begin at the house of God. Oh, yes. Hey, you see this preaching confrontational. It's preaching on repentance. Boy, folk don't want to repent. They want to do their thing and go on and look for the blessings of God. But the blessings stop when we let sin in and we refuse to repent. It is preaching, my friend, listen to me. It's preaching on revival for survival. Are you hearing your preacher this morning? There is no hope for our community. There's no hope for this country unless we have revival. Amen. I don't know a place that don't need revival. I don't know a Christian that don't need revival. I really don't. If we'll be real good and honest today, we'd have to say, Lord, it's me, it ain't everybody else, but God, I need you to do something in my heart and work in my life that'll transform me. Oh, friend, revival's unpopular in our day because it's confrontational. Amen. Now, I don't know what the preacher Chris Hayes will preach when he comes here. I'm wanting to preach the preaching God sends. That's what I'm interested in. Whether it gets where I'm at in something in my life or whether it is a word of encouragement, whatever it may be, I want what God wants. But I am wise enough and I've been in this thing long enough that revival preaching will always be confrontational. That's why a lot of folk quit going to revival. They hate being confronted with stuff. Amen. Are you hearing me this morning? We want to be entertained. Well, I'm not an entertainer. I don't have Fifi the dog to come out here and cut flips. And I'm not interested in light shows and smoke machines. I'm not interested in entertaining you. I am interested in you getting what God wants for you for the day. Amen. And sometimes that's confrontational. Sometimes it gets right where we're living at. Amen. I'll say this. I've never had preaching run me off from church. Never have. Never had preaching. I don't care how mean they were, how hard it was. Preaching ain't never run me off from church. It has run me to the altar more than once, but it ain't run me off. And I'm going to tell you why. The Holy Ghost lives in me. When that book gets preached and it's me that he's preaching to, he'll say, that's you, son. We're talking to you. Amen. I don't go to church to look see what you're doing. I don't go to church, my friend, to be some kind of a law enforcement agent. I'm here to be a mailman. Amen. I'm here to deliver what God puts in my heart. Now, I don't reckon any of you beat your mailman up lately, have you? Huh? I mean, that cable bill showed up and your credit card bill showed up and all that. And you didn't go out and beat him up because he brought you your bill, did you? Well, I wouldn't ever get mad at a preacher then because he didn't run the bill up, you did. Amen. All he is a vessel and a voice that God has chosen to deliver a message for you. Amen. Some are not interested in revival. They're against revival because of the confrontation of revival. Let me say this, number two, not on the confrontation revival, but they're not interested and they're against it because of the conviction of revival. Notice with me in Jonah 3, verses 5 through 9. Look at this. He's come in verse 4, yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Half a word came in the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn, repent, and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? You see what's happening in those verses? Conviction has set in. Conviction over the message that was delivered had so got us a hold of their soul that it affected them. You see, here's what conviction will do. First, it'll make you think. Amen. You'll begin to roll over what's being said, and you'll hear the voice of the Spirit of God say, all right, That applies to you. That applies to you. He begins showing, and you begin thinking. Amen. Conviction will begin to make you dwell upon what you've done wrong. Make you think about it. Amen. Then conviction will trouble you. Amen. Conviction won't make you laugh and pop bubble gum and want to be in the joke telling business. If conviction ever lays a hold of your heart, it'll trouble you. Amen. You know why you're troubled? Because you're in trouble. Amen. You know you've offended God. You have broke the law of God, and it'll trouble your heart. Now, I'm preaching mainly the saved folk, but conviction on a sinner do similar, same thing. But as to the saved, I'm telling you, everybody look at me just a minute. If you can sin and it never bothers you, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Because when you do wrong as a child of God, the Holy Ghost lives in you. And he says, don't do it. And then he says, you shouldn't have done it. And it troubles you at your heart. I've had folk through the years, their life's gotten a mess. And I've seen families bust up. And then one of them said, boy, I'm the happiest I've ever been. That's strange. That's strange to me. That's foreign sounding to me. Matter of fact, if you're saved, it ought to trouble you. Amen. But then that'll get you thinking and that will trouble. But it'll cause you to tremble. Amen. Boy, I tell you what I'm praying for again to happen around the local churches is that old time conviction will set in on people again. I've been around it. I've seen a boy grab pews and their knuckles turn white. I've seen them jump up in the middle of preaching, run the altar and get right. I have seen them jump up and run out. Amen. But conviction is what's missing in the average Baptist church today. We go through the motions. Now, let me just say something, help you with the difference in teaching and preaching just a minute. Teaching reveals a lot of facts, gives you a lot of facts, but preaching demands you respond to what you've heard. That's why you hear him always say, boy, we've got a great Bible teacher. Now, understand this, a pastor is to be apt to teach, and every sermon has a teaching element in it. All messages have a teaching element in it. But to deliver it as God's man, as the preacher, demands you do something. You can't be gray area as you leave. You make a choice to receive or reject. Amen. Oh, that conviction would so get a hold of hearts again. Oh, some are against and are not interested in revival because of the confrontation of revival and because of the conviction of revival. But let me say this, they're also bothered because of the change brought by revival. Now you say, that's weird. Well, look at verse 10, the first part again. The Bible said, and God saw their works that they turned from their evil way. Now, revival and repentance will produce a change. Amen. Are you listening to me? Real revival changes Christians. Amen. As sure as a sinner that repents and turns to Christ for salvation, that there's a change produced in that individual's life. Amen. And somebody said, well, they don't know. Well, I agree. Some folk don't know as much as other folk do. But you hear me this morning. There will be a change evident in someone's life to get saved. Amen. I was 10 years old when God saved me, and there were some changes. I knew the changes. Amen. And I've experienced personal revival since I've been saved. And I'm telling you, I can spot the changes in my life. Amen. Oh, friend, there's a change that's brought about by revival. There's a turn from sin. That's part of the change. Folk will get out of their sin. in real revival. There's a turning to the sovereign in real revival. Amen. If there's not, then it wasn't real. Amen. There's a difference in a emotional stir and revival. And I'm emotional in my worship, in my preaching. I'm not against shouting. You know that. I'm one that comes, I get in it, I worship, I praise God. But listen to it, it's more than those things. God working in our heart begins moving our lives, begin changing our life, begin getting us more conformed out to the image of Christ. Amen. You see, some don't want revival because there'll be a change. Now, let me say this, and I've seen this happen a lot in 32 years of preaching. I've seen it happen a lot. I've seen moms and dads burden over children who are lost. I've seen them parents be faithful to church. I've seen them every time you ask for prayer requests, they mention their name. They want folk praying. And man, they get that child there and they even tell preachers, they're here today. Preacher, pray. They're here today. And just keep them coming. And then God get a hold of them in conviction and they get saved. But then they're satisfied with that. They don't want their child to go any further because they've never went any further. Hello? You see, we get talked about, I want all my family to go to heaven with me, and I do too. I want my family to go to heaven with me. But I tell you what, I don't want them to die on the vine. I want them to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. I want to see them go forward. And real revival will stir you up and make a difference in your life that there's an evident change in you. Oh, friend, today I find some don't like revival, not in because the change it's brought about. Jonah, and again, it's puzzling to me, but Jonah 4:1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He's sad. He is upset. He is grieved by them repenting. But the Bible teaches us in Luke 15, verse 7, verse 10, and verse 24, that there is to be rejoicing when a sinner repents. Amen. May God never find me. May God never find you when a person has said they've got their heart right with God, whether they got saved or they were backslidden, they got back in faith. May it never be said of us that we fold our arms and say, well, I don't know if it'll last or not. That ought never come off our lips. That ought never be our attitude. Hey, I'm telling you, when a person says they get saved, it ought to be what calls us to rejoice and thank God that they got saved. And then if a backslider's got right, rejoice. Hey, they've got themselves right with God. Right. Amen. Oh, friend, today some are against revival. They're not interested in revival because of the confrontation, because of the conviction, and because of the change. I want to be one of those that desire it. It's my heart desire. It has been that way since God called me to preach. I've got a heart that yearns for the local church to have revival. That, listen, the Bible tells me in the book of Timothy, as a pastor, to do the work of the evangelist. And I do that. I still preach meetings from time to time. That's part of my calling. But can I tell you, it's even more than my call. It is a heart desire in me that God burned in me and put in me 32 years ago to see sinners get saved and local churches get help. Amen. And you know what I want for Gateway? The same thing. I want to see sinners saved and see us as God's people draw nigh to God and Him draw nigh to us. Oh, friend, today, as we're looking ahead, and I pray you've been praying, and I encourage you to intensify praying between now and the meeting on the 23rd, 8 days away. Oh, may we pray. May we let God do something in us. May we not be spectators. May we not run off and not be here. Now listen to me. Everybody look up here. God knows your work schedule. He does. God knows when physical ailment comes. God knows when surgeries are having to be lined. God knows all about that. It is a different story when it is in your power to be here and you won't come. That's a horse of another color. Amen. Hey, when we know, somebody said, preacher, I just found out about that little thing right there has had it in it for months. It has. On back now, you even got a little revival flyer printed in it. I've mentioned it at the close of every service for weeks. Where you been? Amen. What's happened when the announcers are, where are you going? I ain't being mean and ugly. I'm wanting to find out what's happening. It's been known. So don't say, well, I didn't know. You knew. And I say, when it is in your power, when it's in your power to be here, then you ought to be here. Amen. Do you understand that? When it's in your power, there are things beyond our power. There are things we can't change. But those things we can, we should. Amen. There's a lot of things we can't help, but there are things we can. Amen. So I'm encouraging to let that desire, to say, God, do a work in me. God, help me in the coming days. I admit, boy, I want God to stir me up. I want more. I want to be closer. I'm not satisfied. I want to get closer to God each and every day of my Christian life. Amen. I want to know more about Him than I did yesterday. I want to have fellowship with Him more sweeter today than I had yesterday. Man, I'm going to tell you, I went off with my children yesterday, and I was riding back from East Tennessee up around Bristol, and I was riding down the road, and everybody's gone to sleep but me, and me and the Holy Ghost began fellowshipping. That's where this message come from. And my assistant, Brother Tim, he knows I've wrestled this week to just get the mind of God for this morning. But riding down Aisle 26, he began to say Jonah chapter 3, Jonah 4, and began rehearsing all that scripture in my mind and in my heart, and began burning and said, that's it. And I want to tell you, it was settled riding down the road. Before I ever wrote the first word on a piece of paper, it was settled and burning my heart. I can face God with this message. I can. Why? It's what God said, preach. It's what God wanted for this morning. Oh, friend, may God revive us before He comes. I want us to be fired up when Jesus comes. We'll spot Him coming because we've been looking for Him. See, when we get cold and indifferent, we ain't looking for Him. We're busy watching everything else around us. But boy, that revival, that reviving power of the Spirit of God, it'll fire you, it'll help you keep looking for Jesus to come. Oh, may the Lord help us this morning. Father, take the message, use it for Your honor, Your glory. I've tried my best to deliver it as You told me to. Lord, I pray, seal it to our hearts now. Help us allow the Spirit of God to so work in us. God, that a change will be produced in us. Lord, I love You because You first loved me. Oh, Lord, revive me. And then, Lord, I pray, revive us. And then I pray, Lord, revive Thy work, Lord, in these last days. And Lord, everything You do, we praise You and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just a moment, they're getting ready with a song of invitation. I wonder this morning, you'd be honest, and you're saved, no doubt you're saved, but in your heart you say, preacher, by lifting my hand, I do need God to revive my heart, and I want Him to do that. Amen. Amen. Hands are going up all over the place. Preacher, I know it. I know it. I love the Lord. I'm saved. I read my Bible. I'm here at church. Preacher, I admit I need the fire rekindled in my heart like I've had in days gone by. Amen. Amen. It's not everybody. It starts with you as an individual. Starts with me as an individual. I want us to stand this morning. Christians are already coming. If you're here and you're not saved, I urge you to come. We'd love to take the Bible, show you how to be saved. But as God's people, we ought to be making our way toward an old-fashioned altar this morning like we've not done in a long time. If you can't walk right there in your pew, God will meet with you right there in your pew. But if you can walk, I'd come toward the altar. He said, preacher, I can walk, but I can't kneel. Come sit on the front pew. Let the Lord help you today.